Okay, now here's a fun little thing we'd like to do. Every now and then, when Dorkman doesn't like a movie, he spends days and days in his basements writing a variation of the movie that he can like.
I wish I had basements. No, I mean, the thing is that when I complain about a movie, people are like, well, how would you do it? And so I have to come up with an answer.
Now, you did this for the prequel trilogy of Star Wars.
Yes.
And it's pretty universally accepted that everyone likes episodes 1 and 2 more, and everyone's sort of like, episode 3 could definitely work. So right off the bat, there's qualifications that you guys haven't experienced yet where people are like, Dorkman's kind of good at rewriting movies.
Why, thank you. We should post the prequel stuff.
That'd be kind of cool. Maybe when we do Revenge of the Sith, we'll have an MP3 like this. But here's just a little sidebar. Here's how Dorkman would do The Matrix Reloaded.
All right, check it out. So my whole thing in kind of rewriting movies, and I was actually going to do like a whole thing, like have a site and stuff like that, and I was going to call it The Matrix Rewritten. Because Reloaded Revolutions. Ha, I'm clever. But anyway, never got around to it because fuck it. But now that we're here, awesome. So my whole thing with kind of trying to rewrite or revise movies is I find in the case of the Matrix sequels as well as the Star Wars prequels, they don't use the titles as well as they could. So I'm like, all right, how can I take the title as a springboard for and try to work that in more? So I'm going to try to work that in more as well.
And in the case of The Matrix, also the fight scenes, right?
Also the fight scenes, yeah. Because everyone with Reloaded and Revolutions was like, well, particularly Reloaded, because as we talked about before, they're like, dude, the fight scenes were awesome. So I'm like, okay, I kind of agree with that. So I'll try and keep the fight scenes as much as possible and try and find a way to work them into the story.
So this variation of the movie would have the same set piece fight scenes and the same title. However, the story is different?
The story is different and the plot is different, trying to get to these different points. And also trying to work in the Animatrix more, which if anybody... for those who watch the Animatrix, they'll understand the parts where I'm trying to make reference back. So, The Matrix Reloaded basically starts essentially the same way, integrating the Animatrix. The machines are digging into Zion. They found Zion, and they're trying to dig into it, and there's a big meeting of the minds about what's to be done about that. The agents attack the meeting, and then Neo and his crew show up, and there's a little bit of an emergency outside. Okay. Neo and his crew show up, and basically Neo fights the agents, which most people don't do. You know, they run from agents.
Neo's the only one. Trinity's the runner.
Trinity's the runner. Most people
are
the runner.
No one fights the agents except for Neo. And we found out at the end of the last movie that Neo can make him blow up.
Yeah. So my basic thing is that, you know, Neo is the one now. So he, as opposed to just having his Superman thing where he can fly, he can kind of do anything. So he understands how to make the agents blow up. So he can kill agents. He's the only person in the Matrix, even among the Free Minds, who can actually kill agents from fighting them. You know, 3-4 hits and then bam, he gives them a special punch or whatever and they explode. I don't know, something. So it's established, wow, Neo's pretty much a fucking badass. Everyone's like, okay, awesome, let's get out of here. And Neo's like, no, I need to go talk to the Oracle. He goes to talk to the Oracle, and the Oracle basically tells him, hey, you're being kind of an asshole about this whole thing, because he is. I mean, that's another thing with The Matrix Reloaded that we didn't get into. I think Neo should have accepted that he was the one, as opposed to being like, oh, I don't know what to do, I'm confused. He should have been like, this is awesome. I am God. Basically, I am God and Jesus, and I am the Trinity. You're not Trinity. I'm the Trinity. To these people, like, I'm everything. So he should have been kind of more arrogant about it.
So when the Oracle says you're being kind of an asshole, it's true.
Yeah, it's true, and he's like, shut up.
Because he's an asshole.
Right.
He's like, oh, bitch, wait. Please.
Fucking, I already fucking forgot something that I was going to. Before he gets to the Oracle, he tries to go to the Oracle to talk to her, and she's not there. She's been kidnapped by the Merovingian, basically, so he can't talk to her. So he goes, and they basically, we basically get the Chateau fight right there, because he's trying to talk to her, but she's been taken captive. And instead of having the weapons all over the walls for him to grab, all of the bad guys, the Merovingian's henchmen, have weapons, but there are no weapons on the wall. There's only a big... A giant mirror,
like a decorative mirror.
And he basically reaches into the mirror and pulls out a weapon on his own, kind of a reference back to the original Matrix when the mirror got all fucked up when he was actualizing, basically.
Right.
And he fights using that particular weapon. And we would maybe now, but maybe later, get the idea that these people are not all programs. Some of them are people who have sided with the machines because they gain more by siding with the machines and staying in the Matrix than leaving the Matrix and siding with the humans. So anyway, he talks to the Oracle. She says, "Hey, you're kind of being an ass," and he's like, "I don't care." He goes to leave the Matrix because you need a landline, as we discussed before. You can't use a cell phone. He goes to leave the Matrix, and as he's doing it, the Matrix changes around him. And the easiest way I thought of to kind of visualize that was that it changes color. It goes from green to blue, the code that he can see. So it's like, huh, that's weird. And he tries to get out through the phone line, and it doesn't work. He can't leave. And then while he's there, the twins show up. This is where we introduce them because they're the villains. We don't bring back Smith in this one. Smith is dead. We've got the twins. So the twins come after him. He fights them, but he's not doing too well because all of his powers are gone now. Not all of them. He's still a free mind. He's still like the others. So he knows that this isn't real and he can do things that a normal human couldn't do. But he can't kill them the way he could with the agents, and he can't fly and he can't do any of that stuff.
Because it's a new Matrix.
They
reloaded the Matrix.
Precisely.
It's exactly. Version 7 now.
Yes, now it would be version 7. Although we don't reference the six previous Matrixes, or Matrices, sorry, in this movie like
actually,
we do.
Actually, it's Matri.
Is it Matri? Are you sure?
No, it's Matrices. No,
it's Matrices.
Matri would be if it were a Latin root, but it's not.
Oh
so
my
anyway.
God.
He's an English major. What are you going to do?
I'm an
obnoxious as hell.
That's awesome. He's an English major, so he knows Latin. That makes sense. So anyway, the Matrix has been reloaded, and he is basically no longer the one, although we won't discover that until shortly later. So he fights the twins, but he basically gets fucked up.
He's sort of impotent against them now.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he does better than just a normal human would do, but it's basically like Morpheus fighting the agents in Number One. Like, he gets the shit kicked out of him, essentially. And he's only saved when the others return to the Matrix to help him, Morpheus and Trinity and all of that.
Drag him to a new hardline.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they don't drag him to a hardline because the hardlines don't work anymore.
Uh-huh.
They've basically jacked in to help him, but then they're like, fuck, we're stuck now. Like, the hardlines don't work. So they're like, all right, we better get our asses back to the Oracle and figure out what's going on. So they go back to the Oracle, and the Oracle looks different. The Oracle is played by a different person, as she will be in The Matrix Revolutions, just working that in.
That actress died, for those that aren't keeping up.
Yeah, she died, and they had to replace her and kind of come up with a reason. But
I did not know that. That's sad. I think we should have a moment of silence.
Done.
Okay. And
just pause the recording there.
Exactly. But So they go back to her. She looks completely different, and they're like, what the fuck? And she's like, okay, I'm a program, and this Matrix is completely different from the last one. And she takes the opportunity, because the Matrix, you can get away with heavy exposition scenes, because they just do that.
Fuck it.
That's the way it works. So she basically explains the thing about the Matrix, and this is going back to something that Trey had a problem with before. The thing about the Matrix is it's not only a power source. Humans are not only a power source for the machines. Because that would be wasteful, like we've talked about before.
And you're talking about, in the instance that we see before us, they kind of are just a power source.
Right, exactly. So
that's a problem,
First movie, you mean?
In the first movie.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, humans.
That's the explanation of why they have the whole setup
exactly,
in the first place.
Combined with the form of fusion, it's like, what?
So if you have fusion, why? You don't need batteries.
So the thing is, as opposed to just batteries, it's not just body heat. Humans have brains. You know, they have computers in their heads. So their brains function as combination processors and hard drives. Basically, humanity is a giant RAID that powers the Matrix, essentially.
A giant server.
A server, essentially. And it doesn't only power the Matrix, it powers the machine hive mind. What keeps the machines going? Because in the Animatrix, you have that particular one, I can't remember what the title of it was, but where they basically teach a machine to think for itself, as opposed to on the hive mind. So kind of working in the idea that they have a hive mind, and maybe they've got machines that are on their side that we've never seen before, but that we might
see. Sort of like reprogrammed Terminators.
Exactly. That we might see in Revolutions. We wouldn't see them in Reload.
Right.
But so she basically explains, okay, that's what's going on. On top of that, because you guys are because humans are serving as hard drives and RAIDs, the idea is when a human dies, the information that was about the Matrix that was stored in that human's brain is shunted to other ones. That's what a RAID does, basically, with hard drives. So the whole idea of the one is every so often, the right combination of information gets shunted to one person such that they have an understanding of the Matrix. They have the code of the Matrix in their brain on such a deep level that they're able to control it and understand it.
So it's literally just a luck of the draw. It basically is a systemic anomaly still.
Yes, it's
enough
just...
people die at the same time, and there's just this extra flux in how many pieces of information have to get distributed, and someone gets more than they should, and they're the one.
And the one occurs, exactly. So it's very much like what the architect is talking about. It's just actually
using it. You
actually
see it.
Yeah. So
yeah,
she...
this is basically just taking what he was saying and making it visual and cool.
Yeah.
So does this mean, I'm sorry to interrupt, but does this mean that you a one would be more likely to appear when there's some giant catastrophe in which a lot of people die?
Potentially, I hadn't thought of that before.
That's
that might
cool.
be that might be something
idea.
To work
that,
in.
That's good to provide like a background catalyst.
Yeah,
like somewhere in the third movie, you touch upon the great battle or whatever
right.
that ended up causing Neo to be born.
Yeah. That could definitely work. I hadn't thought about that before.
Some terrorist went into the real world, into the human fields, and blew up a bomb.
Yeah,
and all
exactly.
of a sudden...
But so basically, she says, "All right, Neo." That was a different Matrix. This is a new Matrix. This is Matrix 7.0 or whatever you want to call
it.
Our
code is now blue.
The code is blue. You're not the one anymore, is the thing. Because you don't have that information in your brain anymore. But the weird thing, she basically says, the weird thing is this doesn't normally happen right when a new Matrix is you know brought into effect. There's already another one. There's another guy who has all this information in his brain.
In the transfer of all this information, it did a flux thing, and there it is.
Exactly. So it wound up like that. You better go fucking get him because, you know, I'm a program. I'm attached to the Matrix, so I know about him. So are the agents. They know he's there, so you better go help him.
So, now, this also sort of explains the nature of the beginning of the phone call in The Matrix, where Trinity and Morpheus are on the phone, and you hear them talking, and it's like, I think this is the guy. I think this one is him.
Like,
right.
there's an implication in the first one that they've been looking, and they've got several candidates.
They've been trying to find who it is.
They've been auditioning for a couple weeks.
Yeah,
they're trying to find
a little bald kid with a spoon, not so much.
There is
no spoon.
They have some way of identifying him. Exactly.
So they realize that this guy is suddenly, hey, there's a new one. Let's go get him.
There's a new one. And of course, that gives Neo the problem where he's like, oh my God, I've been such an ass about this whole thing, and I've been the one, and I thought I was God, and it was taken away from me like that. And he's
got. It's funny because.
Does he go
way,
on like a bender? Because that would be great.
It's funny because that also alleviates the problem of how do you make a character that's essentially Superman relatable? You don't.
You take away his powers.
You take away his powers.
That's what they did in the movie. That's what they
right.
did Superman.
Number two for all of 20 minutes. But
so they go off on a wild goose chase to go find the guy?
Well, it's not a wild goose chase because the implication means that he's not there. They go and they find this guy and he's there and you know they don't have the time with as they did with Neo to coax him into it. They're like, just listen up. This is fucked and we don't even have time to explain what's going on, but you just need to trust us and come with us. And of course the agents show up at the same time and start shooting, and he's like, well, you're not shooting at me, and they are, so I'm gonna come with you. So they basically run through, you know, he'd be in an office building like Neo or something. They basically end up on the roof of the office building again, agents behind coming up, and they're like, well, fuck, so here we are. So they do the building jump. They're like we got to jump across because you know we got to get out of here. But it's not in the construct. This is for real. This is in the Matrix. And you know, they go to
Neo, and whoever else goes with him knows that you can just jump, but this guy doesn't.
Exactly.
This guy's just like a fucking dude.
Cuz the whole thing, nobody makes the first jump. So Neo and maybe Trinity probably are ready to grab him and bring him across, but the guy just takes a running leap and he makes it. He's the only person who has ever made the first jump, and
so
everyone's
like
yeah,
like he's even better than Neo.
Exactly. And Neo gets another whoa. Basically,
I'm confused.
Not really. Don't give him a whoa.
Exactly. No, he probably wouldn't get a whoa. But it'd just be like, fuck.
He would just have a single tear.
He's like, I'm not even the one that this guy is, essentially. So that's kind of the turning point where he becomes...
And then Trinity could fuck that guy.
Exactly.
That would be great.
So, you know, he essentially becomes the Morpheus character where he's like, all right, I've got to get this guy out, you know. Which maybe he should have more of a hesitation or whatever, but whatever. He
and
tries
Neo
to
is no longer the one,
out.
So he is susceptible to all the things that Morpheus was in The Matrix.
Exactly. So the whole thing is, again, going back to the Animatrix, you have that whole haunted house thing. It's a glitch in The Matrix. Combining the haunted house thing with the kid, who isn't
very
well used.
Woke himself up.
Who woke himself up. The idea is if you can get the hard lines don't work, but if you can get to this glitch, the connection is thin enough that you can wake yourself up. Like if you're aware of it, you go into this glitch, you know what you're after, and you can wake yourself up. So they rush. You know, you get the car chase through the city. And they get the guy to this glitch. And then the agents arrive there, and you get the whole... this is pulling in a fight scene from Matrix Revolutions, or a promised fight scene, which is the zero-gravity fight scene. Because basically, they're in this haunted house where none of physics properly work, because the programming is all just fucked up. So gravity is constantly changing through the fight scene. People are getting slammed into walls and up on the ceiling and fighting upside down and the whole thing. When the agents arrive, Neo basically... sacrifices himself like Morpheus did. He's like, okay, he's the one now, not me. So I'm going to fight these guys off so you have the time.
You must get Jerry out.
Yeah, to buy Jerry, sure. To buy the time to get Jerry out. And
I think he should be named Jake. I'm just saying. Throwing it out there.
Shut up, Jake.
And they get... So they get Jerry out. And, you know, they're basically going after him, but they're being chased by Sentinels in the real world while he's fighting. So they're like, fuck, you know, just like it was at the end of the first Matrix, shit, we got to set off this EMP to protect ourselves, but if we set it off while he's in the Matrix, he's going to die. We'll kill Neo. But as they go on, they're like, well...
We don't need Neo.
Do we really need Neo? You know? And
he's not the one, and he was kind of a douche.
And, you know, it's going to fuck with pretty much everyone except Morpheus and Trinity. Well, it's going to fuck with Morpheus and Trinity, but everyone else is kind of like, dude, we're done. Yeah, like, we got the one. You know, they fight for a little while, but eventually they're like, yeah, he's not the one anymore, and we've got to just kind of let it go. But in the Matrix, he's basically captured and taken away into Matrix Purgatory, which we kind of see in... the train station, Revolutions. Although it wouldn't be a train station, it would be a prison, essentially, where you...
It's like a holding area of the Matrix.
You take the old programs there, or you take... you know, you take the old
self-aware people.
Ones there, self-aware people. If they can, well, that was the whole thing. Because what were the agents trying to do in the original Matrix? They were coming after Neo. What were they going to do about it?
They were going to take him off the grid.
Yeah, basically take him off the grid if they found that he was self-actualized. So that's where they take people like that.
Okay, makes sense.
And so he's trapped there. Meanwhile, in the real world, everyone's like, "Oh, there's a new one. I guess he's Jesus now." So everyone,
everybody, we've got a new Jesus.
Yeah, so everyone turns to him and blah, 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 you know, oh, the new savior and yada, yada. But what we find out is that he's one of the people who has been working with the machines. The reason
Jerry
that...
Jerry is.
Jerry is. The reason that...
the reason that he's the one is because he's been doing some cipher shit with the machines.
Exactly. The machines were like, all right, what we're going to do...
We're going to fill your brain with some shit.
We're gonna load up this new Matrix. It's only in beta right now, basically. We haven't figured it out yet, but we're going to load up your brain with this so that you're the one... So that these people think you're the one, and they will take you into the real world so you can let us into Zion, basically.
Now, they released the new version of the Matrix in beta form because Neo was about to fuck everything up.
Exactly. So
Neo
they're
was
like,
winning. Neo was doing his hero thing right, and it was about to fuck them up, so they retaliated by completely stripping him of his powers.
Yeah, they reloaded the Matrix
We're just going to release this version of the Matrix that's fucked up. Now, fuck you, Neo.
Exactly. To screw him up. So we get
our code is blue.
Exactly. So we go back to Neo. He's in this prison purgatory or whatever. He's talking to other potential ones, essentially. He's talking to other self-actualized people, and he's talking to older programs. And, you know, we get our philosophy fix in there, and he basically becomes the one again. He's like, wait, this is, you know, and again, going back to, like, Eastern philosophy, he's like, this is mind over matter. If I can outthink this, then I can do it. Yeah. So he basically becomes the one again, and you have he basically tries to escape this prison, and you have all these agents rushing in to try and stop him, and you get the Burly Brawl. It's not a bunch of clones, but it's still a bunch of agents. So you have this whole fight and blah blah blah.
Does he hold his own?
Huh?
Does he hold his own?
Oh yeah, yeah. He's trying to self-actualize and stuff like that, but he can't quite get away. And then at the very end, he beats them all and he flies away again. So it's like, oh, he's flying again. All right,
he understands it again. Yeah. He's figured out the new blue code.
Exactly. So he's flying back to the Matrix. And in the meanwhile, in the real world, we come back to the kid from the Animatrix who, for some reason, is obsessed with Neo, even though he's kind of cooler than Neo in a way. But he's like...
But they EMP'd Neo.
And so Neo is now in a coma. He's not dead. Because his brain was separated from his body, or his mind.
When they were getting Jerry out, they EMP'd everyone. And it's like, well, Neo's back there. fuck him, we don't need him.
Yeah.
EMP. And at the same time, when he was in a coma, he was doing the whole purgatory thing.
Well, because he was taken into the purgatory, EMPing him didn't kill him. Like, normally
basically just separated his brain from his body.
Exactly. Separating the mind from the body normally kills you in the Matrix, as we see several times when they remove the plug or the ship blows up or whatever. It kills you in the Matrix. But because he was separated, for some reason it didn't. His body just went comatose, essentially. So they're like, okay, he's still alive, and that doesn't make sense to us, but he's not there. He's in a coma. And
so we're not going to, like, kill his body. It's like, he's not taking up much space.
We'll yeah, exactly.
And I guess, like, the kid from the Animatrix is, like, sponging his forehead and keeping him care and all that stuff.
Exactly.
He's obsessed with Neo.
Exactly. And the kid basically somehow finds out that this other guy, if Neo is a Christ-like figure, this other guy is the Antichrist. That's basically the idea. And this other kid finds out that this guy is in league with the machines, and he's like, oh, shit. But no one believes him. So he's like, he has to take it upon himself to get Neo back. So he basically steals Neo's body from the hospital or sick bay or whatever you want to call it, and basically takes it to a place where he can jack it into the Matrix. And Neo arrives back in the Matrix just as he's jacked back in. You had a thing, Brian?
No.
Oh, okay.
I'm just saying, you talk into the...
Well, I'm talking too far from the mic. Sorry.
Kind of sideways there.
Okay.
There
you go. So Neo arrives back in the Matrix. He's the one again. And basically what happens is the twins come back after him. But now he's the one again, so he can fight them. And he basically kicks the shit out of them and just
owns.
Just completely owns them in just an awesome fight scene, right? But... like we were talking about with Matrix Reloaded, it's like, this shit has gone public now. Like, normally it's the kind of thing they try to do behind the scenes, because it's like...
The fact that people are dying left and right, as far as the people that are plugged into the Matrix are concerned, in their world, it's like, why is that guy flying?
Right. Most people...
Why are cars flipping over?
Most people can't handle it, right? But because this is a glitchy beta Matrix... That they just released...
It's not installed well enough to pad them from not being able to handle it.
Right. So they're like, wait... They're basically able to start self-actualizing.
They reject what their eyes see.
Yeah, they start...
Because it makes no sense.
They start rejecting what they consider reality and start waking up
popping
all over
the
place.
Matrix.
So they finally get Neo back out, and they get a message. It'd be like an IM screen or whatever from the Oracle. Like, just text, because you wouldn't see her face or whatever. Just show up on the screen. And she basically says, okay... All these people are starting to wake up from the Matrix, and people are what keep the Matrix running. They will keep the Matrix even as stable as it is.
Because it's a raid.
It's an ecosystem.
Yeah, exactly. With all of these people leaving, the Matrix is starting to fall apart, and they're about with the current rate of how people are waking up, there's about 48 hours left before the Matrix fails entirely. And
because all the powering brains have left it.
Exactly, and anyone left in the Matrix, which would be about 50% of the people left in the Matrix, anyone left in the Matrix when that happens is going to die. And that's basically where Matrix Reloaded, my version of Matrix Reloaded, ends. That's the cliffhanger.
So people are like waking up left and right in those pods and having that Neo moment where they're all like...
Yeah, exactly. And then being dumped into the sea, and basically all of these ships are having to go out and try to rescue them.
And so is Zion having to... I guess this would happen in Revolutions, but Zion would basically be having to empty itself of all of its ships and anything that can move to go get as many of these people as they could.
Exactly.
And at the same time, the machines are still drilling towards Zion, right?
Exactly.
It's just that we're not making a big fucking hairy deal out of Zion.
Exactly.
Okay, now, frankly, sir, that sounds amazingly cool.
Thank you.
That is a great-ass movie.
Thank you.
Only if I could play Jerry.
You could. We can strike that deal. I think
that is just so fucking cool. And I guess you have a little bit more to do with the Revolutions.
We'll get around to Revolutions when we get around to Revolutions.
Sir, that is fucking rad.
You heard it here, folks.
Thank you.
If you want to hire Dorkman, professional screenwriter, to work on your movie,
thank you. or at least script doctor. Come on.
You can reach him at
dorkmanscott@gmail.com is my email address.
Thank you for listening to
the single most nerdiest
file on the internet.
I thought that was really interesting. This has been a Down in Front sidebar. Thank you very much. Good night.